When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
The Penguins host Connor McJesus tonight and his Edmonton disciples. Joining me now to discuss, he is an OG Penguin guy. You hear him on the Penguins Radio Network. Always a pleasure to talk to Paul Steigerwald. Staggy, we got Sid versus Connor McJesus. The stats say McJesus, but I'm not sure it's that simple. I think you'd have to give McDavid the nod, but I think even at Sid's age, it's a lot closer race than the numbers would indicate.
I agree with that. I think Sid's still playing at an extremely high level. If you take away the beginning of the season where Sid struggled a bit, coming off that surgery to his wrist, it took a little while for him to get going. I mean, he's right there, really. He would have been a little bit more in the conversation, maybe even for the Hart Trophy, you know. Sid's still playing at an unbelievably high level, and we know that Sid's a great 200-foot player, and he can do a lot of little things, the subtle things that maybe some people wouldn't notice. I mean, Connor McDavid is such a flashy player that he just jumps off the screen at you when you're watching him on TV or if you're watching him in person. And Sid, I think, has the subtleties of Sid's game are maybe even more of a factor now than they were when he was a younger player. He was a guy who could run the gauntlet and do the wild stuff that Connor McDavid could do, but I think he's really developed a lot of other little nuances in his game that make him such a great player.
Now, if you had to pick one thing, one area where Sid is better than McDavid right now, what would that be? And give me one area where McDavid is better than Sid.
Well, I think Sid's a better defensive player. I think Sid is a he's a better face-off guy. McDavid has improved as a face-off man, but I think Sid is probably better in the face-off circle. I think McDavid is better at just sheer speed and being able to carry the puck with authority and do things one-on-one or on his own. That, you know, he can make a play all by himself almost any time he goes up the ice. Sid used to be able to do that, I think, when he first came into the league. McDavid can still do that like nobody else, and I think that's what separates him from Sid in terms of his explosiveness and his ability to create offense, because he is just so fast. It's just ridiculous how fast he skates. I mean, if people have never seen him in person, the first thing you do is you just go, wow. It's jaw-dropping when you see. And the game is faster today than it's ever been in its history, and he is head and shoulders at times, you know, in games above everybody else in terms of his speed. It's incredible.
Well, let me give you my basic difference. I think Sid is a lot better without the puck. I think McDavid is marginally better with the puck. When McDavid doesn't have the puck, he's not doing a lot, Stag.
Well, that's probably valid. I mean, he may not be as effective as Sid. Sid's a, so I said, he's a great 200-foot player. That's why they say that about Sid. And I think it's kind of cool in a way, because you remember when Steve Yzerman was early in his career, he was very, very good with the puck. He was exciting, and he could be dynamic, and he put up big numbers. But when Scotty Bowman became coach of the Red Wings, he insisted that Yzerman needed to be a better player defensively, and he kind of insulted him a little bit, and he kind of forced Steve Yzerman to adjust his game. I think he probably sacrificed a little offense after that and became a better 200-foot player. We all know that he was one of Sid's idols, if not Sid's idol, growing up. So I think in a lot of ways, Sid has kind of done the same thing. I think he's concentrated more and more on being really good away from the puck and being a responsible player. And, you know, so you don't know how many goals he prevents by playing the game the way he does, just by being in great position all the time and getting back and intercepting passes or reading plays and kind of disrupting the flow of the play on his way back into the defensive zone, or stripping guys of pucks, just all the little things you can do defensively to help with the puck possession game and prevent the other team from generating offense. I don't think that's McDavid's strong suit by any means. Sid is definitely more, I think, built for a good defensive hockey and maybe more conscientious in that regard right now, too.
Who would you want on your team to win a big game right now?
I'd want Sid.
Me too.
Sid's a winner. Like, you know, you remember Mike Babcock said he was a serial winner. And I think that's true. I think Sid rises to the occasion. And, you know, as long as he's healthy, I would pick Sid over Connor McDavid in one game for sure.
Now, McDavid has won one playoff series in 7 years. When's Edmonton going to break through? And let's say McDavid wins no cups or even wins just one. How would that affect his legacy?
For me, I don't really have a – I'm not one of those guys that judges players necessarily on that, because I think it's so important to have a great organization and to have great players around you to win. And we saw it with Mario for a lot of years here in Pittsburgh in the 80s. It took him a long time to make the playoffs and then only –
Yeah, but Staggy, Mario made it a great organization. He didn't give them any choice.
Well, that's true. That's true. He made it a great organization, but he didn't make the playoffs, you know, for between 84 and 89, and that wasn't his fault, you know. He was the best player in the league, you know, for the last few years prior to him making the playoffs, but he couldn't get the team over the hump because there just weren't enough good players around him. So I used to lament that. I'm sure you did too. It made us sick, you know, that the Penguins couldn't surround him with good enough players to get him where he wanted to go. They used to compare him to Gretzky all the time, and that's what they would say. Well, Gretzky wins cups. Well, yeah, well, Wayne Gretzky was playing with Mark Messier and Jari Kurri and Paul Coffey and et cetera, et cetera. And the Penguins didn't have those kinds of players around Mario until much later. So I think McDavid was in a bit of a similar position. I don't think that the Oilers have done a good job of drafting. They had a ton of first-round picks. They blew a few of them, and now they are starting to come around. They're starting to win games, and ironically, Evander Kane has been a big change, and he has made a change in the Oilers. He's playing on a line with McDavid, a straight line player, physical guy, kind of reminiscent a little bit maybe of how Kevin Stevens helped Mario later in his career. So I think his legacy will be tarnished a bit if he goes a long time, and I mean, he wins one cup. I think that certainly would make a huge difference, but he is a guy who, when you get a player like Connor McDavid, you kind of automatically think you're going to get a Stanley Cup. It kind of comes with the territory. You know, when the Bruins got Bobby Orr, it meant Stanley Cup. When the Oilers got Gretzky, it meant Stanley Cup. Same with Mario. And then Sid, I think, has done the same thing here with the Penguins. So it's got to happen at some point, I think, for Connor McDavid, or there will be people questioning him, and that's unfortunate.
I'll be one of those people. We're talking to Paul Steigerwald here on 105.9 The X. Staggy, I feel like this has been a great year for Sid, even by his lofty standard. But he gets taken for granted, certainly nationally and in Canada, and maybe even locally just a little bit, because we've seen so much, so good, so long.
I agree. It's ridiculous how good he is. Like, just the other day, you know, and that the Penguins were not good against the Flyers. And who scores the only goal? You know, Sidney Crosby. I mean, this year he's just been so good every night. When he's not tired, you know, when he's not playing that second of back-to-backs or, you know, the third game in four nights, he doesn't have the same jump maybe as he would have had in his younger years. But on a night when he's well-rested and ready to play physically, you know, in good shape, he's just still awesome. And I think because he isn't a guy who's necessarily running the gauntlet and doing all these great individual things where he's beating guys one-on-one and making spectacular rushes up the ice like he could do when he was younger, maybe people do take him for granted a little bit. But that's the difference between, I think, Mark, somebody like you and me who have watched hockey for a long time, and maybe somebody who is not as well-versed in watching the game, they would say, well, he's not as great as he used to be or whatever, but they're not really maybe necessarily noticing those little nuances, the things we were just talking about earlier that he can do that make him such a great player night in and night out, and why he's a winner too, because a lot of those little things that he does are the things that contribute to wins.
Well, a lot of those of that comes from people who just look at the stats and don't watch the game. Stag, I don't know if you knew this, but one of the head hockey guys for theathletic.com, not locally, not Yoey, but he never watches games. Never. Not in person, not on TV. He said all he needs is the numbers to cover hockey, and I think that's selling the game short and also taking all the fun out of it as well. Can you see McDavid ever wanting out of Edmonton, like Gretzky did? Because McDavid doesn't strike me as 100% accountable. In fact, he's a sourpuss.
He's kind of dour. He really is. He has very short answers. He doesn't look like he's particularly comfortable doing interviews. He doesn't seem to be playing with a lot of joy sometimes. So I would agree with you. Maybe he's unhappy, or maybe that will play a role in his outlook as an Oiler eventually, if things don't improve there. And I know it's the first reaction would be, well, you know, he should be the one making them great. You know, why is he complaining? It's his fault that they're not winning. But I'm telling you, man, it takes a lot. You got to put a lot
of
good.
Yeah, but I see their point, Staggy. Mario never complained. Mario would always say, I have to do more.
That is true. He did, and he was capable of it. But
see, Staggy, that's what I mean about Mario made the Penguins a great organization. I think he demanded accountability from everybody, top to bottom. I think McDavid just wants to play.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't know the kid that well. He's out in Edmonton. It's hard to tell what he's really made of. I just know that, you know, he doesn't come off particularly well in interviews. And so he has a tendency to rub you the wrong way a bit. There's no place he'd rather not be than standing there doing an interview. And that's unfortunate, because you'd think he would relish it. I mean, you know, these careers only last so long, and it's a great opportunity, a privilege, really, to play in the NHL. And when you're a star, there's things that come with that. And I don't think he's handled it particularly well. On the other hand, he's an unbelievable talent.
No question.
And, I just like watching him. I mean, I'm excited about this game tonight. To me, it's like a big event, you know, when you get players of that caliber on the ice at the same time, not to mention Leon Draisaitl and Jake Gensel and all the others.
Well, I think we've overlooked tonight's game because who are the Steelers going to draft? One last thing, Staggy. Sullivan shook up the lines today at practice pretty considerably. It looks to me like he's going to go for balance in the playoffs, and there's no choice there. You got to do that.
Yeah, I think he's still experimenting a little bit. He wants to see what McGinn looks like playing up on the wing on the second line. You know, Mark, when I look at the Penguins' lines, I just go back to earlier this year when the Penguins were really playing great hockey and they were winning consistently. We went 17-2. I think of that line, and you know, that never really was reunited when they got the injuries. Teddy Bluger went out with an injury, then Brock McGinn went out with an injury, then Zach Aston-Reese got traded, and they've never had that line together since they were really playing well night in and night out. They weren't putting up big numbers, but there was something about the way they played together that they kind of, I thought, were a bit of an identity line in terms of the Penguins' ability to play a good, solid game, defensive game, structured game. And to me right now, they don't seem to be able to find that. And it's just like, if you look at the third and the fourth lines tonight, there's a lot of guys that seem to be miscast to me in the bottom six that they're really not the kinds of players you think of in those positions. And I'm going to be interested to see if when the playoffs start, the Penguins don't put a Drew O'Connor in the lineup when they can bring him up when the salary cap isn't a factor. I just have a feeling the Penguins aren't done yet putting the people they want to put in there who are going to be more suited for playoff hockey. I'm not thrilled with the line combinations in terms of the structure, and that, you know, when you look at the balance of the team, it doesn't jump out at you as being a team that's balanced. And I think that's one of the things I'm concerned about.
Staggy, great stuff. Appreciate the insight. We'll see you at the rink.
Okay, Mark. See you tonight. Thanks.
That is Staggy. I am Jorge de Guzman. We got Stan Savard at the bottom of the hour. City just scored again, 3-1. It's the Mark Madden Show. The Jorge de Guzman Show. 105.9 EX.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Hey, Mark, great show as always.
When you got a young trophy wife, owes money to... I can't even quote the Big Lebowski right. Goodbye.
The X at 105.9.
Like I said, we got that poll up on Twitter. Give an equal chance. Who do you think would be the better quarterback in 2 years, Trubisky, Willis, or Pickett? You can talk about that on the program by dialing 412-333-WXDX. My bet's Trubisky, and I just don't think either Pickett nor Willis is good enough to draft in the first round with pick number 20 overall. I don't think that either is a nailed-on NFL above-average quarterback. He's not going to be the guy. And let's face it, if you pick a quarterback in the first round, you're doing so not so he can be okay, but so he can be the guy. I'm not disputing that Pickett or Willis might be okay. You know, the age thing is something to consider too. You know, you look at the quarterbacks in the AFC North. Watts is 26. Burrow and Lamar Jackson are both 25. So you tell me, how the frick Kenny Pickett's going to catch up to them and compete with them and be better than them and beat them when he's only a year younger than two of them and only 2 years younger than one of them? You tell me. 412-333-WXDX. I still maintain if Kenny Pickett hadn't gone to Pitt, nobody in Pittsburgh would want the Steelers to take him. And I'll tell you what, the notion that passing up on Pickett would be the equivalent of passing on Marino back in 83, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. One of the stone-ass, stupidest effing things I've ever heard. Pickett ain't Marino. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. As we talked about with Staggy extensively, Connor McJesus is in town tonight. So who's better, McDavid or Sid, right now? Sid has 31 goals and 53 assists in 67 games. He's averaging 1.25 points per game. McDavid has better numbers, 43 goals and 75 assists in 78 games. That's 1.5 points per game. Sid is by far the superior 200-foot player. Sid is by far better without the puck. McDavid doesn't get a lot done without the puck. Now, over the long haul, Sid has won three cups. I said two before. He's winning them so fast I lose track. Three cups. McDavid has won only one playoff series, and this is his seventh season in the league. McDavid is probably a better player right now than Sid, but it's closer than you think. And I'm not sure Austin Matthews isn't better than McDavid this season. McDavid's been in the league, like I said, seven seasons. And because he's not won, he seems a bit stale. Now, it's true Mario only won one playoff series in his first 6 years, and in fact only made the playoffs one time in that span, but then he won a cup in his seventh year, so maybe McDavid can do that this year, but I doubt it. Edmonton is a little better, but they don't feel, to me, to be near winning a Stanley Cup. And Mario, some said it felt stale for him back when. So I guess you have to give McDavid benefit of the doubt, although like we talked about with Staggy, Mario demanded accountability from the organization. And he always took on the burden. They could lose the game 8-6. Mario could get 5 points. And he would say, I have to do more. I make the most money. It's on me. And that took the pressure off the team. It's demanding accountability from the team and from yourself. Edmonton has 98 points, so they're about where the Penguins are in terms of the kind of season they're having. But the Penguins are going to have a tough first-round series. Edmonton's going to play the LA Kings, and Edmonton should win that. McDavid got the highlight reel, he got the stats, but there's got to be more, or maybe there's not. Winning seems to matter less than ever now, in all sports, with the media and with fans. It's about points, it's about analytics, it's about the highlight reel, it's about SportsCenter. McDavid got the wheels, he got the sizzle, the highlight reel, like I said, but on teams that are equal, I would trust Sid to win more than I would trust McDavid to win. Up next, we're going to talk Steeler draft and some Penguins with the godfather of Pittsburgh sports. He is the great Stan Saverin, just around the corner here on the Jorge de Guzman Show, 105.9 The X.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
It'd be the hoity-toity instead of the hoi-polloi.
Double M, what's up?
Idiots are often happy, but they have no real impact in this world, unless, of course, they're good enough to make the NFL.
The X at 105.9.
Just got handed a note. There are some tickets available for Penguins Oilers tonight, which, of course, is Sid versus McDavid. That's hard to believe. How could you not go to see that? I know why, though. You're too worried about Willis and Pickett. Who are they going to take? Joining me now to discuss just that, he is the godfather of the Pittsburgh sports media. Always a pleasure to talk to Stan Saverin. Stan, if I'm the Steelers, point blank, I don't draft the quarterback. I just don't feel like either Willis or Pickett is a sure thing to beat the guy.
I feel the same way. The only way that I would draft a quarterback at 20 would be if I was absolutely convinced from a scout's perspective that this guy was going to be a highly performing, highly functioning quarterback, a winning quarterback for the next 10, 12 years. And I'd have to be pretty darn certain. There may be no certainties in a draft, but it would have to pretty much reach that plateau for me to consider that. There would be time enough to draft a quarterback. They'll have an opportunity to do it, well, next year, any year, really, for that matter. They may even have more draft capital next year. I believe that they need to put the finishing touches on the defense. And to me, the only guy I would even consider trading up for would be Jordan Davis out of Georgia. There's a guy who can dominate a line of scrimmage, who gives you some youth at a position where you're very old. You have no depth whatsoever. That's the one guy that I would consider making a move up for. But beyond that, nobody else.
Yeah, and the hype is ridiculous. You got people saying they can't pass on Pickett. It would be like passing on Marino. And somebody compared Willis to Roethlisberger because they both went to small schools. The bottom line is whoever the best quarterback or quarterbacks in a draft are going to get hype. But these guys ain't Roethlisberger and Manning and Rivers from 2004. If anything, they're J.P. Lossman. And I remember the Bills took him, I think it was 22nd in 2004, because they felt they had to get a quarterback. You shouldn't be married to a position in any draft, stand. And I'm sure that you, like I, can name numerous examples where that got a team into trouble.
Oh, there's no question about that. You know, we're short a quarterback. You know, this guy could blossom. Now, look, there have been some late first-round selections. There have even been some third-round selections. Russell Wilson comes to mind, Joe Montana. And I know that's often used, but, I mean, not every quarterback comes in the first round. But by and large, that's where the best ones come from. And I also think, given what they're doing here, they signed Mitch Trubisky to be a bridge quarterback. Okay, well, why not wait a year, find out what you have in him? Maybe you don't have anything. But again, unless you think that Willis is a generational guy, then you can draft a quarterback next year. But what if Trubisky, with an improved offensive line and presumably an improved running game and, you know, a better defense, who's to say maybe he's not a guy? Look, he was drafted second overall. Maybe that was too high, but he also was restricted with a bad team, a bad offensive team anyway, and a bad system. Why not? You sign him to be the bridge guy. Why not find out? And then you can make a decision on a quarterback next year.
Well, that's right, Stan. They should want Trubisky to play well enough that he could be the long-term starter. And I have a Twitter poll up, and the fans are agreeing with me. I would bet on Trubisky over the next 2 years more than I would bet on Pickett or Willis. I think Trubisky will be a better quarterback coming out of that window, given chance.
Well, right, because let's say, for example, even you draft Willis or Pickett. They're not going to play this coming year. Now, maybe they would then try to trade Rudolph or do something with him, but I don't think that they would entrust that position to a rookie. So anyone you draft this year at that position is not going to play in 2022. If that is the case and you're putting your cards on the Trubisky table, then let them play it out. They're not – look, no matter who the quarterback is, even if they would have signed Aaron Rodgers, which was ridiculous, of course, from the get-go, they're not Super Bowl contenders. So if the ultimate objective is to win a championship, but you're not capable of doing it this year, then why not ride out with Trubisky?
Aren't the Steelers in trouble at quarterback, no matter how you slice it, in their division, what with Burrow, Jackson, and Watson, all there, all good, all young?
I mean, it would seem to be the case. I think you have to look at the weaponry around them. There's now some questions about wide receiver with the Browns. I think their biggest problem last year was their head coach calling the plays. They had the best running attack in the league, and he's one of those guys, I not only want to beat you, I want to prove to you that I'm smarter than you are, and it came back to bite him. You know, and let's remember something else too, that Watson, for whatever length, is going to be suspended. He's not going to start the season with him, if he starts the season at all. Lamar Jackson, there's severe questions about the weapons around him, about their wide receivers. That's always been an issue with them. So is his durability. Joe Burrow's got weapons. Does he have the offensive line? And the Bengals, too, I give him full credit. That was a great run. But they were the Bengals. Teams didn't take them terribly seriously. They will now. And also, last year, the Bengals played a last-place schedule. This year, they play a first-place schedule, and that makes a difference.
We're talking to Stan Saverin, the Godfather, here on 105.9 The X. Stan brought to us by Always Safe and by Schneider Downs. Stan, if the Steelers can't out-quarterback anybody in their division, and Watson's going to play sooner or later, obviously, can you build your team around running the ball and defense? You know, like the Steelers in the old days. Can you do that now and still win? That sounds so outdated just coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, I mean, it really does. I don't think you can win solely with that. I mean, you have to have a functioning pass offense. It doesn't have to be Air Coryell. It doesn't have to be, you know, Joe Burrow to Jamar Chase all the time. But you got to have some balance. I mean, even the Bengals have balance with a pretty good running game with Joe Mixon. But I do think that you can win with a combination of those things. I do think that even with today, the rules pretty much preclude you from dominating anybody on defense. But I do think that with a combination of those things, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, better than average on all areas, in all areas, yeah, I do think you can win. I mean, I do think you can win that way. Look, I'll look at the Rams. I mean, the Rams didn't have a great running game. Their passing game, they have, you know, some good wide receivers and a very solid quarterback. Their defense is very good, but they don't have the best offense in the NFL. They don't have the best defense in the NFL, but they're pretty competent at all those areas, and they compiled that into, you know, a championship. I mean, I think Buffalo is like that to a degree. They have all the various elements. They need to put it together now. But, yes, I do think you can be a highly successful team playing that way. And I do think that the Rams are a perfect example of that.
Stan, I'm 100% with you. The guy I want most is Jordan Davis, the phenom tackle from Georgia. I would pick him just over every quarterback, certainly, and over most other players as well. Do you think he could be there at number 20, and would he be worth trading up to get?
I don't think he'll be there at number 20. I do think he's worth trading up to get. I think a lot of people say, well, you can't draft a nose tackle. He only plays, you know, one down, maybe two. That's not true anymore. You know, we think of nose tackles. We think of guys like Joel Steed. We think of guys like Edmund Nelson. Casey Hampton, of course, that's the primary example. It's not that way anymore. All you have to do is look back a couple years ago when Javon Hargrave was here. If you'll remember, they had Tua got hurt. He had that tricep injury, as I recall. And so they had to move Hargrave, when he wasn't playing on the nose, out to defensive end. But he had that kind of mobility.
Yep.
As the offenses have changed, so have the defenses. This guy, I don't know if he's a three-down player, but he's more than a one-down player. At his size and his speed and his athleticism, he can be used as a defensive end. It's not like you're only going to see him on first down. I think guys like him can dominate football games. Is it only one guy? Yeah, but they can dominate games. And I wouldn't put this tag on anybody because I think it's unfair, but you saw what Aaron Donald can do. Now, he doesn't do it alone, but you saw how he can spearhead not only his defense, but control a game, take the game over. This kid, and who knows, it's not the NFL. You're not playing Vanderbilt now, but this kid looks like he can be a dominant figure along the line of scrimmage, and he could be that kind of player for 8 to 10 years. I do think he's worth trading up for. Well, as I said earlier, he's the only guy that I would.
And, Stan, just to expand on what you said about the one – two and three down stuff. I think a guy like him comes in, and when you go to your sub packages, he rotates with Hayward and Alualu in terms of what two linemen stay in the game.
I totally agree. You look, at any age, you can't expect guys who weigh 320 pounds to play, you know, 80, 90 snaps. just like they need help at outside linebacker, which they went out and got with Avery from Philly. Those guys are carrying a heavy burden. They're big men, and they're going against guys who weigh 340 pounds. You know, try pushing against that. For 50, 60 plays. So you're absolutely right. They can give them a blow. And one of the things I look at when I see a team driving easily on the Steelers, not that it doesn't happen with the first unit, but I look and say, who's in the game? Who's in the, oh, it's the outside linebacker. Oh, it's the backup nose tackle. Oh, it's the backup defensive end. You've got to maintain as close to a level of quality as you possibly can. This guy would give them the flexibility of doing that. And I still believe you can play defense in the NFL and you can still win with it, especially if you're unsettled at quarterback and you have offensive issues.
Stan, what's your prediction? Who are they going to pick? I'd love to see him get Davis. I hate to say this, I bet they do pick a quarterback. I don't know which one, but I bet they do.
My guess is if Davis were to be there, they would jump on him. I don't think that it's unrealistic to think that they'd make not a 10-slot move up, but maybe a 4-5 to get Davis. Remember, the Ravens draft 14th, and I think that they would love to trade up to 13th to snatch him away if they possibly can. I think Houston has that slot. That's the old Brown slot for Deshaun Watson. I think if both Willis and Pickett are gone, I think they'll take one of the other defensive linemen from Georgia.
Stan, I want to talk Sid versus McDavid tonight just for a second. The stats say McDavid's the better player right now, and I think he is, but I'm not sure the margin's that big between the two. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. Somebody put out a comparison of the first, I think, 485 games, that's what McDavid has played, and they took what he's done, which is magnificent, and what Sid has done. And Sid beats him in most categories, talking about the first 485 games of their career. Now, the game changes. Granted, McDavid has not played generally with the caliber of players that Sid was able to play with, going back in his first 4 or 5 years, although that included the first couple years when they didn't make the playoffs. Look, Connor McDavid may be the fastest guy on skates who's ever played in the NHL. I don't know, but he's more than fast enough. But if we're talking complete hockey players, Sid is considered one of the five greatest players of all time, not just on his offense. That's the most easily attainable stat. But we've seen him up close and personal for all these years, all the things he does, the smart plays he does. I'm not denying Connor McDavid's skill, but it's hard for me to believe that he even approaches the kind of thought that Sid demonstrates every single game, the kind of plays that he makes, the back checks, winning faceoffs, all those things, the smart plays. Connor McDavid's great. He'll be in the Hall of Fame, but his bust will not overshadow Sid's ever.
Stan, you saw the line shake up, Gensel, Rust, and Crosby back together, but the other lines, it looks like Sullivan's trying to balance things out going into the playoffs to roll four lines. I think that's an attempt that has to be made. I'm just not sure it's going to work.
I think that the move up of Russ is to get Russ going again. When he dropped back, he didn't have Malkin because he was suspended. I think that Russ hasn't scored in, 6-7 games now. I think it's just I don't know if it's temporary, but I think they just want to get Russ going again. I do like Zucker and Carter together. They're giving Kapanen another chance. He should be wear a cat suit because he's had 9 lives. I mean, how many chances are you going to give him? I mean, he scratches early as Sunday. His father comes to see him play, and he sees him in a suit up in the press box. I don't know. To me, it's grasping at straws at this point.
But I also understand it, and now's the time to try it because you could always go back to Boyle. In the playoffs,
right.
And certainly him sitting a game at his age won't exactly, hurt him either. But yeah, the line I have doubts about are Malkin, Raquel, and McGinn. That's asking a lot of Malkin, especially as poorly as he's played 5-on-5.
Yeah, he seems to have gotten some chemistry with
Raquel.
Raquel, yeah.
Raquel's played pretty good with everybody, Stan.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. That tells you a lot about Raquel more than anything else. I think ideally, I think your strongest line is Raquel up with Sid and Russ with Malkin. They had some chemistry. If you want to bump, Zucker, I don't mind that, Zucker with Carter. To me, when we look at the playoffs, they're going to be underdogs no matter who they get. It seems to me that guys like, and this is generally the case, but in particular this year's team, Kapanen becomes a key guy. I mean, because if he's on that third line, he can make it a good line or a total bust out. Because I don't think, as Sullivan likes to play in pairs, I don't know that Carter and Zucker are the strongest pair that he can put out there. But if Kapanen produces, and he has shown some chemistry, at least with Jeff Carter, you're right. It is worth a try. But it also seems to me that it just kind of reeks of desperation, especially when you're putting Kapanen.
Right. I mean, playing, I don't mind a little desperation.
Well, if they play desperately, that'll be great. I didn't see any of that on Sunday. I thought that was one of the most desultory performances. And it's not like Philly did anything great. They were just as bad. And then they get a goal and say, oh, they're going to hand us 2 points. Why not take it?
And the Penguins needed to win, too. That's what made it terrible. It would still be better to finish third, Stan, no matter who the opponent turns out to be. Finally, on a positive note, I got to say, Casey DeSmith's getting the job done. I don't know if that'll translate into a playoff series win with him in goal, but .931 save percentage over the last 15 games, .223 goals against, and he looks the part too, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he does. He looks fine. He looks very confident. And by the way, he's also playing behind a pretty leaky groups of five ahead of him. The odd man breaks, the chances in the slot. But good for him. I do have doubts. Can he sustain that kind of performance in night in, night out, every other night, as playoff series tend to wear people down, wears teams down? I just wonder if he can, again, we talked about Jari never having proven it in the playoffs. Well, neither is Casey DeSmith. It's great to come in for a game or two. If the Penguins, let's put it this way, if the Penguins had been forced to go full-time with Frankie Pietrangelo in 91, would they have won the Cup?
Well, don't let Frank hear you say that, Stan. I think a better example, I don't think they would have won with Jeff Zatkoff going all the way in 16.
No question, for sure. They couldn't even get to two games.
There you go. Stan, great stuff. I'll talk to you Thursday on your program.
All right, Mark, I look forward to it. Thank you.
That's the great Stan Saverin. I am the muy bueno Jorge de Guzman. We're talking hockey. We're talking Steelers draft. We got the Hockey Night Show coming up from 5:30 till 6. At the top of the hour, we're going to talk about Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett, small school and small hands, because ain't neither one good enough to be picked in the first round, even though they both probably will. 105.9 EX.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Bubble M, huge fan, buddy. Your voice is like sweet nectar to my ears.
Still of the night.
The X at 105.9.
Wow, what a game. The final at the Etihad, Manchester City 4, Real Madrid 3. That's after one leg of the Champions League semifinals. So it's all left to play for when the semifinal goes to Madrid next week. We've got Liverpool and Villarreal tomorrow, which will ruin the show, but that's how life is sometimes. I saw a great comparison on Twitter because I got a poll up. Give an equal chance, who would be the best quarterback in 2 years? Trubisky, Pickett, or Willis? And right now, Trubisky leads, but that's biased because people who follow me generally parrot what I think, to be blunt. But I saw somebody tweet that Kenny Pickett's ceiling is Andy Dalton, that he could be the next Andy Dalton. Now, Andy Dalton's had a long and consistent NFL career, but would you draft Andy Dalton with the 20th pick overall? 412-333-WXDX number to call, because I would not. I just would not do that. Now, Dalton has played a long time. He's only 34? I would have thought he was much older than that. But Andy Dalton was a second-round pick, 35th overall in 2011. I think that's where Pickett should be and where Willis should be. I just don't think either one has enough potential to be the guy to pick as Ben Roethlisberger's successor in the first round with the 20th pick overall. I just don't see it. You're blinded by Mr. Small Hands going to Pitt and Mr. Small School because Tom was in love with them, and in general because they might be the two best quarterbacks in the draft and they're going to get hype that exceeds their talent and potential. But I just can't pick either guy in the first round. And some people in the media feel beholden to that because that's what they've been hyping all along, because all they understand and all you understand is quarterback, 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 quarterback. But give me Jordan Davis. If Jordan Davis, Kenny Pickett, and Malik Willis were all available, the Steelers should take Jordan Davis. The Steelers need to go in a different direction. They need to look at defense. They need to look at a running game. Not that you could win exclusively by emphasizing those things in today's NFL, but you're not going to out-quarterback Cleveland, Cincinnati, or Baltimore. Not for a long time. Jackson's 25. Burrow's 25. Watson's 26. Heck, Kenny Pickett's going to be 24 next month. Rather, in June, he turns 24. How's Kenny Pickett going to catch up to those guys? How's Malik Willis ever going to catch up to those guys? I'm right about this. Everybody has their opinion, but I'm right about this, and it will turn out to be as I say. It will turn out to be as I say. Let's go to Ben in Boston. Ben, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Hi, Ben.
Hi. You know, I just want to call and agree with you. I think the Steelers should avoid drafting a quarterback this year. And I think the fans need to realize that the Steelers are going to be bad for a little while now.
Well, maybe not bad, but they're just not going to be a playoff team. And there's certain things they need to address and fix without worrying about this year. Now, you might think that picking a quarterback is one of those things, but I think they need to wait till next year to do that, till they see what happens with Trubisky. I think Trubisky has more potential to be a good quarterback in the next, you know what, 3, 4, 5 years, however long, than Willis or Pickett. I think Willis and Pickett are decidedly ordinary talents who are hyped up because they happen to be the best of a bad bunch in this year's draft when it comes to quarterback.
No, Mark, I think you're absolutely right. But I think the Steelers are going to have a middling season, and I don't think they're going to have a high enough draft pick next year to find a good quarterback.
Define middling.
Are going to be bad for a little while.
Define middling.
Five wins.
They might win six. Thank you for the call. I think Trubisky should be their guy. I think Trubisky should be given a chance to not only win the job, well, he's got the job right now, but he should be given a chance to keep the job. No doubt about that in my mind. No doubt whatsoever. 412-333-WXDX. We'll talk more about Willis and Pickett in just a moment. We got the Hockey Night Show at the bottom of the hour. My guest is going to be Matt Venzel of the Post-Gazette. This is the Jorge de Guzman Show. Oh, I got my trip all planned for the FA Cup Final, Liverpool and Chelsea. May 14th, going to be great. Now, here's my situation. I fly in the fancy schmancy seats up front of the airplane, comfortable because I'm fat and I'm rich. Okay, so the plan is to miss a couple days of work. But if the Penguins are out of the playoffs by then, if they go out quickly, in other words, I'll stay in London an extra day or two for the Whitesnake concert. This is the plan. 105.90X.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.